What is going on with this football team?
I don't get it. You got coaching problems. You got quarterback problems. You got offensive line problems. You got defensive line problems. Oh, my goodness. It's to a point now where it's nearly comical. Laugh so you don't cry sort of a thing. I'm just at a point now with the frustration week in and week out with this team finding new and unusual ways to lose football games where you just kind of throw your hands up in the air. And it's so unfortunate to be in that position right now with the promise and the hope and the expectations for this year. But when your coaches week in and week out make critical coaching errors like they did at the end of the half, at the end of the game, overtime, when your quarterback is regressing instead of progressing, when you have injuries all along the offensive line, when your offensive coordinator seems like at times there's a little bit of a head being buried in the sand sort of a thing with the predictability and lack of adaptation, and it all adds up to where we are right now. 3-6 with the Carolina Panthers up next and the season hanging by a thread. But the pointed question we're asking tonight, because it's been the hot topic since the game ended yesterday, y'all are no longer willing to give Michael Penix Jr. a pass. At least an overwhelming majority of y'all were vocal yesterday. Today, been a lot more measured on the phones. 404-726-0929. P starts us off. P, is Michael Penix Jr. the problem?
Absolutely not. So this is what's going on. I've been listening to some of these calls, and they're pretty funny. First, you know, Arthur Blank is one of the best owners in the NFL.
He is.
You know, I'm not blaming him. I'm not blaming Terry Fontenot either. But Raheem gets a little bit of blame only because he put a lot of faith in Zach Robinson, who's never been an offensive coordinator. Look, they are keen in on Bijan Robinson. So teams are not going to let Bijan beat you. So it's the offensive coordinator's job to have a second and third pitch. If it wasn't for Drake London making hero catches, I mean, it would be worse. Remember the game that Drake did not play? I mean, yes. It was horrible. So what's really going on is we have a really inexperienced offensive coordinator, and it's really trickling down, hurting the defense, hurting the special teams. We don't have a second, third, or fourth pitch when they're taking away Bijan Robinson. So it comes down to that. We, the offensive coordinator, and the offense is the problem.
No, P, it's a great point, and you're the first caller tonight to bring up that sort of trickle-down effect, and I think that's a really astute point because you talk about the defense. Yes, 7 sacks yesterday. You talk about the defense. Yes, they were able to make timely plays, but you were also on the field. Time of possession was just another just outrageously skewed number in the opposition's direction. Outrageous. For like the fifth week in a row, time of possession, just you're getting outworked, outclassed, and your defense is on the field forever and a day. And that's what happens. And that's why they were able to gash you in overtime, because you just had nothing left. And then third down, I mean, 8 for 30 over the last 4 games. I mean, that's got to be one of the worst stretches in NFL history. It's got to be. I mean, it's comical how bad some of these stats are that the callers are pointing out, to P's point. It's so bad. And you put Michael Penix Jr. in the middle of it as a rook with 11 starts under his belt, and he's like, what am I supposed to do? I'm trying here, y'all. And that's how I see it, more than Michael Penix being anywhere close to a bust. I think it's the opposite. I think his coaching staff is failing him. Corey, what do you think? Corey.
What's up, Turtle?
Yo.
What's up, Turtle? I think it's a little bit of both of what you just said. I just want to say, you know, I've been riding with this team since like 98. I was probably the most crushed person on the planet after 28-3. I didn't watch the Falcons until Arthur Smith's second year. And I think really, I don't think Penix is a terrible player or a terrible prospect. He's obviously a really good athlete. But I remember when Matt Ryan came out, and it just looked so much different. And we have rookie quarterbacks in the league right now, or sophomore quarterbacks that, you know, like Drake May, like, and Bo Nix. And look at what those guys look like. That's what, you know, true franchise quarterbacks look like. And to me, Michael Penix looks like maybe a Geno Smith level, and maybe that's a little harsh. And I do think coaching is largely to blame. If you look at Raheem Morris's record with a little bit of rounding, he's 25-50. That's 1 in 3 games. So 2 out of 3 games you're going to lose. When he was in Tampa, it was easy wins for us every single time. Raheem's definitely got to go, but I got one big point for everybody who thinks Michael Penix is it. Last year, Kirk Cousins, who a lot of people think is washed, did pretty darn good with this same receiver core, with Mooney, with London, with Kadarius Hyde.
Well, hang on now. No, I appreciate it, but hang on now, Oren. That's not fair. Darnell Mooney is a shell of himself from what he was last year. That you were rolling, sir. You were making really good points, and you sounded very articulate doing so until that last one. Woof, do I disagree 1,000%. Darnell Mooney is an absolute shell of himself. You know Darnell Mooney? You know his stats from yesterday? 8 targets, 1 reception. 1. Part of that's on Penix. He missed him a couple of times. Had that one throw on the sideline where he let him out of bounds, for sure. But 1 catch out of 8 targets. Ray-Ray McCloud. I don't know how many of y'all realize this. Ray-Ray McCloud had 700 receiving yards last year. 700. Do you know who's been asked to pick up that slack? Casey Washington, who can't catch a cold, and David Sills, who literally, and I mean literally, this is not radio hyperbolic. This is literally David Sills cannot line up straight on the field in the formation. He literally can't get the plays right. Doesn't know what to do. You're asking that to replace, between Mooney and Ray-Ray McCloud, nearly 1,700 yards of receiving. That's not fair. I agreed with everything you were saying. You were rocking, Corey, until that last point. I got to disagree strongly there. Michael's up next. Michael.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I would like to say, first of all, it's definitely coaching and the decisions that's been made. The bottom line is this, that they decided to build a defense from the secondary end when the winning prescription in the league is to build from the front 7 back. And they did not do that. They didn't get the big defensive tackles who was available to stop the run. And I was worried about them running against the Falcons and controlling the clock and taking advantage and keeping our offense off the field. That's what has happened with CMC, exposed the Falcons.
He did.
He ran all over them, the time of possession, and we saw it again Sunday. So here we are. The league has figured us out. You run the ball on the Falcons. You dominate the clock. You keep the time of possession at a big disadvantage and keep our offense off the field and limit their chances. That's all dealing with coaching. Instead of them building from the front 7 back like the winning prescription is when we've seen Tampa build it, what they did against Kansas City, and they won a championship. Same with Philadelphia when they build from the front 7 back and they won a championship. That's how you got to be able to stop the run. Yes, get pressure on the quarterback and have a secondary because they're only good for about 2 to 4 seconds. They can hold a receiver. But all of that is predicated off of your front 7.
No, and Michael, you are 100% right. Thank you for the call. 100% right. It is all predicated on that. Oren, you want a stat? Christian McCaffrey and Jonathan Taylor versus the Falcons this season, all-purpose yards. You want a nice round number? Approximately. It's a few yards off. 485 all-purpose yards for Christian McCaffrey and Jonathan Taylor, to Michael's point, versus the Falcons. How about we marinate on that for like a hot second before we say Michael Penix Jr.
In each of those games, you knew the one guy you had to stop.
Yeah. Christian McCaffrey went for a $185, and Jonathan Taylor nearly went for $300. So a little simple math would tell me that's about 485 yards of all-purpose yards from Jonathan Taylor and CMC versus your defense. So again, when I'm hearing everybody today just pile on Michael Penix Jr., I'm like, yeah, man, he was terrible yesterday. But can we look at the whole picture, please? He's drowning right now. He needs his coaches to help him get his footwork back, get his mechanics in order. He looks like a lost puppy out there who's scared, and I understand why, because he's getting killed. Oh, man. Jimmy's up next. Jimmy.
Turtle.
Jimmy.
First of all, Turtle.
Jimmy.
Can you hear me? Yes. Hey, let me take it off Bluetooth. Oh, Jesus. Turtle, are you there?
Yeah, I got you. Turtle, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead, Jimmy. You're good.
I apologize. Nevertheless, I have to start this conversation by saying how much I appreciate you. I can hear that you're a true Falcons fan. I can hear the frustration in your voice. It does my heart good. I'm from here, and that's becoming rarer and rarer. But to your point, you can't really blame the players. It really comes down to the coaching. And yes, Penix makes mistakes, but he makes mistakes that rookies make. We can't fire our coaches. It's unrealistic. No team has ever gotten rid of their coach halfway through the season and been successful. That's not realistic. But we could bring in some veteran assistant coaches to help out with developing the quarterback and to help with the play calling. This would solve a lot of our problems, possibly also the time management issues that we tend to have. Because essentially what we have is not only a rookie quarterback, but we kind of have a rookie coaching staff. And that's a problem. A prime example would be Caleb Williams. He struggled initially. They brought in a better quarterback coach, and look how he's doing now. So I try to tell people, don't give up on Penix. He's a rookie. He just needs to be coached up. And unfortunately, we don't have that on our staff. So if we could possibly do something like that, I see the light at the end of the tunnel. Maybe not this year, but nevertheless, it would be progress. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I actually agree with you 100%. I do, because I think if you get the right coaching in here, like if in the offseason you can get a Mike McDaniel if he gets fired or Brian Daboll to come in here and work with Penix for a full offseason, I think you could see, to our caller's point, a night and day difference between his production and his output. He needs a major overhaul right now. Again, for the 100th time that you've heard today on the radio station, his mechanics are broken. His arm angles are broken. His footwork is broken. He needs to go back into the lab and get all of those things fixed in order for him to be the quarterback that we all know he can be. And the funny part is, despite all of those issues, he still has four or five plays a game where you're like, wow, this dude is legit. This dude could spin it. But he's not consistent, and that's the issue. Let's go to Dustin up next. Dustin.
Hey, I think it's fundamentals about trying to receive a ball coming by a left-handed quarterback. The ball is spinning differently. And I swear if Pitts grew up with a left-handed quarterback, he would have caught that ball at the beginning and we would have been doing great. But the fundamentals need to start with these coaches at a young – teaching these kids at a young age that just like in baseball, they train on left-handed baseball pitchers and right-handed baseball pitchers. That's all I got to say.
No, I mean, it's not a completely invalid point, but Oren, my counter to Dustin's point would be, that's what training camp is for. Like, that's what you have, and I appreciate the phone call. That's what, you know, training camp is for. That's what the offseason's for. So by the time you get to week 10 in the NFL season, I don't think using the fact that Michael Penix is a left-handed quarterback is a viable excuse. Maybe for a guy like David Sills, that doesn't get a lot of work, but that dude can't even line up straight, never mind catch the ball when it's thrown his way. Let's go to Larry up next. Larry.
Good afternoon, Turtle. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for checking in.
Turtle, you and I, we're on the same page. The coaching staff's got to go. We've got talent on the team. We've got, and I don't blame Penix. I mean, you know, he looked bad yesterday, really bad. But I he's a rookie. He needs to be coached up. We need to get the whole. We got to get a whole new coaching staff. That's the only thing that's going to save us, because we got the talent. The reason I still watch the Falcons on Sunday now is to see how they're going to lose, because they lose every way they possibly can. And I've been a fan. I'm 73-year-old. I've been a fan since Norv Hecker was the head coach. So, you know, it's not like I'm hating on the Falcons. It's just they seem to find a way to lose.
And it's so crazy, thank you. And thank you for the phone call, that it continues to this day. Talking about 73 years old all the way through today in 2025, and we still come on the air here on Local Talk Radio on 92.9 The Game and say, well, the Falcons found a way to do it again. They were up. They allowed a game-winning field goal. You had the craziest start to over – or a game-tying field goal. You had the craziest start to an overtime you ever see, and then the defense, because they were on the field the entire game, gave up, you know, the final nail in the coffin to a nearly 300-yard day from – a potential MVP candidate. Check, check, check. 404-726-0929. I see Larry, Brad, Emmanuel, Will, Tom just hang tight, grab a line. My night crew checking in, loving hearing from y'all. We've been taking phone calls all show long. Michael Penix Jr., is he the problem? Yes or no, and why do you think so? You know how I feel at this point. Coaching, coaching, coaching. They're not helping their quarterback, who right now is drowning. 404-726-0929. Back with your calls. Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you till 10. Back with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas, Turtle with you until the top of the hour. Hawks pregame comes your way then. But right now, we're still talking Falcons, baby. We got full phone lines, so if you're trying to get in, just hang tight. 404-726-0929, or if you can't get through on the phones, go hit me up on Twitter at C Thomas Radio. Got the poll up. Same question that we're asking you tonight. Is Michael Penix Jr. the problem for the Falcons? Because coming off of that game yesterday, he was taking a lot of heat. Rightfully so. He was not good. But to focus all the energy and all the blame game on him, I think that is sorely missing the bigger picture for the Falcons. Brad leads us off. Brad, go ahead.
Turtle.
Yo.
I am a lifelong Atlanta Falcons fan, and I believe that it's fair to say that the starting quarterback for the Falcons can shoulder his fair share of responsibility. I think it's also fair to say that he's still on his rookie year. I think at the end of the day, you know, football is about winning and losing. When you're winning, you're not having these kinds of discussions. When you're losing, you are. And when you are consistently a losing program, at some point, there's enough blame to go around. Starting quarterback, all the players, coaches, and at some point, even the owner, I feel, cannot separate themselves from, you know, the fact of having a losing program.
Brad, to double down on your point, it's not only that, but it was the expectations on the franchise to start the season. This was supposed to be the end of the 7-year drought this year, and it couldn't be going in a worst possible direction.
Right. And so Turtle, you make ultimately the point that I want to make, because I agree with all the callers. There's one person that I have not heard that should shoulder some of the responsibility for doing just what you said, for having those high expectations. If you're a diehard Falcon fan, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. I hit the 9-8 point several years ago. My expectation for the Falcons, I had to tamper down because, listen, I was one of those calls causing losing my mind. The rest of the day, done. No good. Football, the fun of football, gone. The last couple of years, I said, okay, look, the Falcons are who the Falcons are. I have to make the adjustment and adjust my expectations. My expectations have been 9-8 coming into this year, my expectation was 9-8. Now I'm thinking at the 9-8 mark, maybe no more than 2 games down. So in my opinion, the season is done. But I don't feel as thrown or as torn up because I feel like I have adjusted my expectations.
Well, Brad, I hear a lot of my friends saying, I got to let you go just because we got a full bank of calls. And I understand your point, my man. Thanks for checking in. That's the sad state of affairs, Orin, that the only reason you're able to cope with Falcons losing is because you've adjusted your expectations to the losing, Brad. That's not okay. That can't be the reason that you're able to get past your Sundays. It should be because the team is improving, not because the team has let you down so many times that you said, 7 wins, I'll take it. Originally, I had them at 9-8. Now, if they go 7-10, it's all good. Brad, we got to get better than that, my friend. We got to get better. Emmanuel's up next. Emmanuel.
Hey, Turtle, man. I appreciate you taking my call. I listen to you guys every night when I leave the gym.
Thank you.
You're talking with a native Atlantan. So, been watching since I was a little boy, come out Barkowski days. So, I got some Atlanta history pretty deep. I want to back you up in what you're saying to answer the ultimate question you're asking. Is Michael Penix to blame? That is ultimately illogical and irrational and ridiculous to say Michael Penix is ultimately to blame being a rookie quarterback. Essentially, he's still a rookie. You can't really expect quarterbacks in the NFL to be who they are until we're about year three, definitely by year four. But I want to be real quick, going from micro to macro in the situation of the game yesterday. We do have some issues, of course, going on with offensive line. We've got, some sparks here and there on defense, but we've got a bunch of rookies there that look promising for years to come. With all that happens, most of the blame goes on the quarterback when he loses. Most of the success goes on his head when we win. He did have not the best game, but the receivers did not help him as well because they hit him in a bad place, the middle of the numbers, right between and in through their hands, and they dropped the balls. That cost us possibly some touchdowns in those plays. But ultimately, with all that happened on the field Sunday, still the way it happened, we still should have won that game. But we had some bad coaching, bad clock management first half. And the commentator didn't even say it about not taking timeouts. We could have possibly gone for some field goals for 3 points.
Yep.
And at the end, I'll give you this. You're down there, got the fourth quarter. I like that we got Algier the ball more. I think that's a mistake we haven't been doing because it's more predictable that we get Robinson the ball. They know he's going to get it. But Algiers was a 1,000-yard rusher before Robinson got on the team. And we're just disrespecting Algiers as far as I'm concerned. But we got Algiers the ball down there. He ran, went through the middle, got us in a touchdown range. But we did not milk the clock enough. Just for example, that was Kirby Smart. That would have never happened. We would have won the game with no time left for them to get the ball or not enough time for them to do anything. And I'm not saying that for Kirby to go pro. I'm just using it as an example.
No, listen, I appreciate the call, and I totally understand what you're saying. Thanks for checking in. Right, but to use your point of Kirby Smart, Raheem Morris couldn't be further from Kirby Smart right now if he tried. I mean, he's 20 games under 500 as a head coach. To your point, Emmanuel, that's the problem. You want to bring up guys like Kirby Smart, Nick Saban. Well, Raheem Morris is, right now, he's the guy shining their shoes. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. You think Raheem Morris is anywhere near the in-game coach that Kirby Smart is? No. Raheem Morris is probably the worst in-game coach in the NFL right now. You know, guys in this league like that have done it for forever, like Mike Tomlin and John Harbaugh and guys like that, they run circles around Raheem. And that's why those teams consistently beat the Falcons every time they play him. I mean, it's just straight facts, unfortunately. That's just what it is. To our caller's point, 404-726-0929. It's not good enough. Will is up next. Will.
No, I don't. I believe Penix has regrets because of poor coaching. I remember seeing him at Washington, and he looked great, had good receivers, had good coaching. And when he came out, he looked like the best pro prospect in the draft, even though he got drafted later because of his age and injuries. And also, I don't blame the GM because the GM normally drafts the players and pick up the players that the coaches asked for. And the rookie and our rookie coordinator should have been fired after halfway during the season. When I can tell when the next play is going to be, what's going to be in the forecasters on the up there and on TV can tell you what it's going to be. You know it's time for the offensive coordinator needs to go.
Well,
lastly, I want to say about our defense.
Yeah,
our defense. We've had a lot of sacks, but we have had to send 4, 5, 6, and 7 down players to sack that. If we had a nose tackle up there that was taking care of two people where we're playing 11-on-9, and if these fools thought they were smarter than Belichick, even though he's acting a fool up there in North Carolina, Belichick had always his 6 or 7 world championship. He had 1 350-pound nose tackle. If you go back and look at the previous season, sometimes he had 2 of them in there. If you got 2 350-pound nose tackles, that means you're playing 11-on-9.
No, Will, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for checking
that's
in. Yeah,
no,
you're right. Vince Wilfork is a Hall of Fame player. I mean, that's just what it comes down to. All those years clogging up the middle in New England. We see it with Tampa, with Vita Vea. We see it with Carolina and Derek Brown. You see it over and over and over again. And then what about all the years Cam Jordan coming off the edge in New Orleans? And we took one of their big guys in David Onyemata. But he's not that type of player that Will's talking about. And that what that all goes down to Will's point, is complementary football. If you have a defense that can stop the run, you can get the offense back on the field quicker and not allow the defense to be on the field for so much longer, which is the time of possession discrepancy right now, partially due to the defense getting gashed in the run game and partially due to the fact that the Falcons have stopped being able to operate their offense effectively for any consistent period of time. It all goes hand in hand. And right now, it's all out of whack. 404-726-0929. Let's go to Lewis is up next. Lewis.
What's up, Turtle, man? New week, same results, man. We led by probably the weakest head coach in the NFL. No type of moxie, no type of juice. And we got an OC that is super predictable with a rookie quarterback. I mean, time and time again, we're going up against well-coached defenses. And me as a fan sitting on the couch, if I know, all right, if the tight end goes in motion, it's going to be run. If Drake London does that little, or Darnell Mooney does that little half motion, it's going to be a pass. I can only imagine what experienced NFL defensive coordinator is thinking. It's just too predictable, man. And not only is the offensive coordinator doing bad, our special teams coordinator needs
to. Oh, it was so bad. Yes. It was awful.
He needs to get the same heat as Zach Robinson at this point. Time and time again, our special teams are letting us down when we need Pena, whatever the punter's name, to at least get us some good field position. He always muffs the punt and give the offense.
No, he had Lewis, to your point, he had a I appreciate the call. He had a 39-yard punt at a critical juncture, 39 yards, and he's usually pretty reliable. And to the special teams point, I said it earlier in the show. If you missed it, Lewis, Marquise Williams, I know this sounds harsh, but I am surprised he is still employed today. I really am. Again, you allowed your opposition to start on your side of the 50-yard line 3 separate times during the game. That means you need to just dink and dunk a couple of times and you're almost guaranteed points, especially with the way kickers are in the NFL today. It's unbelievable. The special teams was an unmitigated disaster yesterday. Lewis, you're 100% right. Rob is up next. Rob.
Hey, appreciate you taking the call. I don't know that you can blame Penix any more than you can blame Kirk Cousins back in his one season he had all the way back to Matt Ryan. I think you just have a losing culture. You know, you look at teams like the Browns, there's years where I look at their lineup, I'm like, man, they've got so many great players over there. But the mindset of the fan base, the culture of the organization, they're going to be happy to just be a little bit above 500. There's never this expectation that it's Super Bowl or we're a failure. And when you look at successful organizations, if it's not a Super Bowl win, it is absolutely a failure of the organization, and everybody feels that, and that's the expectation.
Well, right now, we just need a playoff berth. How about that? That's the we can't think Super Bowl right now, and I appreciate the call. We can't think Super Bowl right now, Rob, until you break a playoff drought. That's going to be on 8 seasons most likely this year. Super Bowl, to quote the old coach, playoffs, the Super Bowl. No. How about we make the playoffs? How about we have a winning record for the first time in 5 years? I mean, come on, man. 404-726-0929. I see TAB. I see Joe. Everybody else hanging on. We got one more segment left to take your calls. Listen, I get it. I'm right there with you. You know me, emotional and petty. That's me. And I am certainly emotional and I am certainly petty after this loss. But I do not think, even with that said, I do not think the blame train for Michael Penix Jr. is anywhere near as rifling down those tracks as it was today. It's a collective failure by this organization, and it starts and ends with coaching. Back to take your calls, 404-726-0929. Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle, with you till 10.